Welcome to another exciting episode of the So Nigerian Podcast. So, yes, you know it's been like a month, but yeah,
we
know who to blame.
I just want to apologize. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. I can't even lie. So I've seen your messages. All people have been sending death threats, every type of threat. I'm sorry, boy. We're here. Box back.
Bro, Benjazi won't keep me. Benjazi, I'm sorry now.
Duke
Benjazi, please.
Duke said, you and Rose, I don't need a watch. That's the biggest threat I've received in my life. Bro, don't watch us again. I'm big. Bro. We're back. I'm big.
Benjazi said, you only can come to your house. Bro, do you know, I stopped posting on Instagram stories because...
Maybe we don't reply. I swear, I posted yesterday, like, people will just reply and just after what's happening.
People like to send threads through the Twitter. I will call it like I know Siam.
Yo, guys, I'm actually very sorry. It's not. Yes. It's my fault. I take all the blame.
Yes,
I've been on sabbatical. What's that thing? But I'm back now.
Yeah. So like those of you that have been threatening me, please, I beg. Go and threaten Nigeria.
Send him more threats.
Well, of course, we promised you guys the part two of childhood trauma, yes, and that episode was well received. You guys really enjoyed that episode. It was so obvious with the reception that we got.
Yeah.
But before we go on, make sure you guys are subscribed. Make sure you share this episode to your brother, your sister, your mother, your father,
your aunties, your uncles,
and make sure you rated us 5-star because we're dropping after we drop this episode. We're dropping our next. You guys, next. You guys, bro, we'll rush you guys the episode.
Don't worry.
Two per week. two per week.
Can be VHS is even disturbing us. And you must listen. And share.
So like, now we'll start off with the responses on the childhood trauma episode from the email. But there's an issue with our Spotify podcast, with Spotify app. I don't know. They're doing like a scheduled maintenance. Yeah. So like, I think it's difficult seeing some of the replies because on the childhood trauma, we had about close to 50 responses and comments. That's how sure that you guys really love that episode. Like, do you understand?
I mean, it's something very, it's really everybody.
It was very, very, very relatable. But then on the app right now, I can just see about 24, 25. But then we also have some emails that we'll read out too as well. So let me start with Benjamin Ebili. Benjamin Ebili says, hello, guys. This episode takes me back to my childhood days. My mom is extremely dynamic and disciplined. Her love is so clean. It may not come as expected, but it surpasses expectations on arrival. She flogged me so well and still consoled me by telling me, it's because I love you. That's why I'm doing all these things.
Don't
That's flow. Why I'm flogging you.
Don't flow.
She has a 5-star when it comes to flogging. Ha. You know those guys, get one of my friend, my mother, yeah. She's a big flog.
First question, she should be teacher.
She no be teacher, see, she be bank karaye. But she sabi flow.
I always had this assumption. I was your mom is a teacher, don't worry. Like you're getting it at home. 100%.
My mom was a teacher.
You were getting it. That's my mom. Guess what? You be a teacher, you get it.
Bro, this one, Momsi was a banker. Anytime I saw the way she flogged him, I never want to imagine being like that. You know when they flog your guy, you go just...
That way you're going to say you get something for hours. You're going to just like
But yeah, he says, it's because she has a 5-star when it comes to flogging. She has all the techniques. There's no weapon she didn't use on me. I went out to play football. Even when she asked me not to, I came back home injured. She helped me massage it, told me to go and bath. And eat, bro. Tell me where she woke me up at night to flog me.
On top of your injury, no, that's evil.
Man. I like him. He must be very caring. Like, do you understand? She obviously showed care first, but she put that beauty for mind. She couldn't sleep.
I have a question though. Why is it that Nigerians associate discipline with flogging? Like, once they say this person is a discipline, once in school back then they would say, "Oh, I'll discipline you." The next thing, I'll to flog you. And that's literally not what discipline means. Do you get? But everybody just assumes that, discipline is, you must flog and bend the child and everything.
Don't worry, just spare the rose, spoil the child. As Africans, that's what they believe.
The times have changed, sir.
Yeah, like that point of arguments, you know, that debates where they'll do spare the rose, spoil the child, all those kind of things. Then we'll get to that. I never bump picking.
I swear, when you're not in the situation, you can't really decide.
Yeah, so this one is very long. This is by Okumo Beauty, and she says, concerning this childhood pee, I relate. Die. People say you be last children, them. I don't think you're affected by anything because you are a last born. I mean, I always laugh because I had elder siblings who took on that parental role in training us since our parents were now tired. So some of my trauma came from my brothers. Brotherhood trauma.
Sibling trauma.
But yeah, like, do you know the funny thing about this? Actually, like, I can tell that Ogumo Beauty was, she's like, what is people that, like, maybe their parents were at them when they were old.
So there was
a big age gap between them and their siblings. Or those ones, we, like, I had one in primary school, I had a guy that he was already an uncle from primary 5. You understand? They get step siblings. their mama and fifth wife. You understand? So, like, they live in that kind of household. So, she says, sha, it's affecting me badly now. And I'm still trying to get past and overcome them. Till today, I struggle with my self-esteem. Can't easily express myself, be vulnerable, or get emotional because them, they use, shut up, who's your mate here? Why are you crying? Why are you acting like a baby? Punishment and the rest finish me. Someone will see me and think I'm introverted. But bro, me, I know I'm just struck in my trauma. That's why I'm like this. See that authoritative parenting and gender role P? Let me not just talk. Hey! I'm a beauty artist for us.
Why did me alone? I'm here for you.
I can't remember when I was crying because I thought my mom hated me. My dad repeatedly asked me why am I crying? And I said nothing. Papa said, before 3 p.m., I want to see a written note on why you are crying on my table.
Are you serious?
My mother has made me write the Bible before.
Like the entire Bible?
The entire Psalms.
Swear.
On my life.
Wait till you do it, man. Can't give it just
from the Bible. Unless I lie or something.
The same way you write the Bible.
Don't worry. One day we'll talk about childhood punishment. That's another episode. It's in our content bank. When we talk about it, you laugh. But yeah,
I'm sitting and reaching right now. See, why are you crying on my table? Kindly explain why.
You know, it's not like I'm about to give her time frame before 3 p.m.
Before 3 p.m. dead.
Bro, this man saw it and called me and took me to apologize to my mother. And this woman then beat me.
Are you serious?
Because why would I think such nonsense, man? Bro, do you know if anything? Growing up, man, you know when white kids will say, "Dad, I hate you."
Yeah, they will come slam the go down, go
get on that. Tell my mommy, I hate you so much. Ah,
you call everything on top.
The guy between make me this. Mommy, I love you. Mommy, I love you,
bro.
Yeah,
you know, let me tell you. Funny thing, as kids, like sometimes we think that we're in the right.
Yeah,
do you understand? And sometimes we actually be in the right. Do you get? But yeah, that's assumption that, as a parent, I can never be wrong. That's the mindset that most parents carry. So, whether you're right or wrong, bro, you must collect. So, whatever made this baby cry that she wrote in that note, she might actually have been right. Do you understand?
Yeah.
But your mama say, how you, small picking, would they tell me this guy?
Let me tell you, I don't know if I mentioned this on the last episode, but you get one thing where it traumatized me till today. So, like, my mom said they cook for us. Do you understand? Me and my sister were even talking about it like 2 days ago. So, my mom, she was cooking ogbono or so. And bro, like, as a child, I loved food. And even as an adult, I like, bro, see, just send me food or cook for me.
You want is that?
Bro, like, do you understand? Like, I will appreciate it so much. So, my mom, she cook. And bro, in the house, bro, when I was a child and I feel wake up, just started chop bread. Before breakfast go ready, like for anybody wake up.
Breakfast, I don't want a big boy.
Funny thing. I become the disgusting with time. Like, so like big loaf of bread, whatever supposed to I'm gonna chop up on the middle. Everybody could call the cringe. Everybody could cringe chop up. So like I was that kind of child growing up. So like, bro, like I feel the cry, say I the itch. Like, do you understand? So my mom, she got some point. One time she was cooking, I was really hungry, so I went to the kitchen. Mommy, let me taste. You understand when mothers they cook,
yeah,
you use the spoon.
Yeah, put some for your palm.
Taste the chow. You know, like just all those normal cooking things that Africans do. You know. So my mom see, I was not like, bruh. Sometimes I'll be so hungry, I go to chew my mama for kitchen. I should they cook. I go to chew my mama to cook. Like, do you understand? Just say, make food really ready. Do you understand? And any small jembe. make I just, you understand? Like, even when my stars are cooking, like, I go just day. She gets, I go to help them. Oh, bring Maggi, bring sauce. Now, my job that time. So, I don't frustrate my mama. I don't be like cry, bro. I was like six, or I was like six, seven, or eight. I don't frustrate my mama. They cry, say, "Mommy, like, do you want me to?" I come here from school. Say, if you don't chop, you die. Like, if you don't eat, you can die. So that was my go-to line. Do you want me to die? You hate
that's
me.
What you told
them. Every time they stab me, or every time they don't give me food on time, I'm telling you, do you want me to die? That's my favorite line. Do you understand? So like, I was telling my, I basically just frustrated because my mother came back from work and everything. She just started cooking. You know, normal mother lifestyle. So in my head, I'm already like, bro, just give me food, man. Like, my mom said, oh, yeah, she not tasted your bun. I said, mommy, I want to taste too. I just spread my palm. My mother used her left hand. You know, as she was turning the hot ogbono, place the back of the spoon on my hand. And a metal spoon, so you hot. Press and keep on there for like 15 seconds.
Swear.
See you today. And you know, if I see anybody, they cook. I
you know, go to the hell. Dead. Bro. So that like, a really traumatic experience.
Bro, like, it burnt my hand. Like, bro, swear. Since that time, I left, I know they use and cook. And number two, now Yorubas will say, oh,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
See. Do you understand? So I stretch out left hand and all those things, like, everything just did wrong. But yeah, like, she was not like, yeah, beauty continues, rather. This man sorry called me, and why would I think such nonsense? But I couldn't believe my eyes that day, or the time my brother told me to kneel and raise my hands up because I was crying and didn't want to tell him why I was crying.
Like, what kind of
you punished her for crying?
Family members, I'm so sorry. Like, your house must have been very, very dramatic.
He told me to kneel, raise my hands up because I was crying. I didn't want to tell him I was crying because I knew to end in beating.
So, in that way,
it's okay to cry. But it was never okay for me to cry until recently. All in all, this was a very nice episode. Please be fast with the next episode. Thank you. By the way, you should be expecting more of me since I'm shy to tweet until there's Q&A section of
Apple Podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Beauty. Don't worry. Now you're a big girl. They know if you beat you again.
Bro, but I need to have a word with your siblings, man.
Give me your older brother's number.
Your brother's number. I need to talk to that guy.
Need to talk to him.
You know how he might have just been passing aggression. Maybe he was having issues in school or something.
Oh, my older brother.
And it actually happens a lot. Like
the other brother go join us. Go join us.
Go join Beatles.
Go join Beatles.
I never seen you. I see your thick muscles.
Yeah.
See your gym boy.
Yeah.
Gym boy.
Yeah. I go. Beat your other brother. I beg go. If you listen, I beg go. I don't talk anything.
It's not funny, you know.
Maybe she don't share now to ask me. Yeah, this boy they're talking about. I beg go, Beauty, please.
Bro, text me for his address. I beg.
So, moving on to the bro, like the over 50, but I don't know what's going on with Spotify.
Spotify, come on now.
Guys. I think this is going to, I think they're having some, they're talking about some scheduled maintenance.
Some upgrade or something.
Yeah, so like we had like 50 comments, but we have like 25, yeah. But yeah, we'll just start with the ones of Dami says, I'm just 30 years old. This is from the last episode. She was the person
on
the friendship, on the. episode. Every Nigerian needs therapy, to be very honest. People will beat you because they don't like how you spoke to them or you do not wash plate right. I was just 7 or 8 years old, though. Bro, don't worry.
Bro,
for Nigerian, if you're crying like this, they will beat you for crying. Just like Beauty. The trauma never lives for real. Coming from a young girl who's this is from dot A. Coming from a young girl whose parents never listened to her and found a reason to beat her for the least thing. Much love from Cameroon.
bro, he's not even Nigerian guy. So it's all African.
It's African behavior. Don't worry. Like, it's just African. Like, it comes with Africanity at this point.
But why is beating the solution to every problem?
Spare the rod and spoil the child.
It's actually ridiculous. Like, I actually was thinking of something. I was speaking to someone and he was talking about. So he's a father, and mm-hmm. he was talking about how his wife was trying to teach the child or do the child's assignment or something, and then the child did not know in particular summation or arithmetic, and the wife now smacked the child, and then he was like, so him, it was not a pity to him, do you understand? Because as a child, that's what he experienced. But then before he went to bed, he just actually thought about it, like, you're supposed to teach this child this thing, do you understand? Not beat them because they don't know math.
Yeah.
But it's now actually dipping that is how is a norm in Nigeria or in Africa that, okay, if a child doesn't know this thing, instead of you to guide the child, the next thing is to beat.
Should beat the person.
That's what terrible culture.
I think one of, in our content bank too, we also have like parenting styles. That's one of the things that's in our content bank. I think one of the reasons why we didn't do it last season was because it was one of the episodes I was thinking about bringing like a parent expert to talk about, because bro, like, parenting style, the one that we grew up with, and the one that some of us, that some of you guys are listening to these episodes now that have children, you know, and maybe like the way your parenting style is different from the one that you grew up with. Some people, they even like take it, my father did it, let me, and I turned out good, let me pass it on to my child. So like that people, even our age range, you know, that think that same way.
I think it's great when people realize that, oh, my parents made mistakes and I don't want to make the same mistake for my children.
Yeah,
it's actually nice.
So moving on, Tim Lulua says, first of all, when they say, does he have two heads, I don't care. That person does have two heads. In their family, other kids are probably smart and more exposed than the rest. Mm. So please don't compare us. Yes, now, bro. Like, you only compare person with your papa. Papa, they give a lesson, teacher, everything.
Bro, did that ever irritate you when you were a child?
Does he have two heads?
No. Comparison.
No, bro, like, it's part and parcel of being Nigerian child. An African child. Let me, because it seems like Cameroonians and Ghanaians experience the same thing. Because even into your adult life, do you understand? Like, there are moments, some of you can relate, there are moments where your parents could ask about your childhood friend.
Just to know where both of you are and
everything, what's going on. Just asking, oh, what career, or what's it doing? Or is in University of Surrey? Is in this? Do you understand?
And for instance, you can never tell them that is his father that sponsored him or something. Do you understand? You can only know they really give you say, can you see your life? Can you see? Tell them, now you possibly plug on this job or now you possibly do something. Do you understand?
Do you understand? Yeah,
bro, it's crazy, man.
Bro, and the comparison is crazy, and even in adult life, they don't know how much it even affects you as an adult, because you start to pressure yourself.
Do you know parents compare siblings?
Yes, no.
And that thing breeds unhealthy competition.
Normal level.
Bro, and it's disgusting.
Me now, like, they even compare, my sister, bro, my sister finished uni where, like, she finished and where, like, first class type, she, after me on the other hand, you on the other hand.
You're a dog,
bro, do you know the funny thing, like, I feel like, you understand, like, my parents just assumed that, do you understand, like, my sister was so academically gifted and great, and just felt like, yeah, like, I would be. So my friends even sometimes even bother to check my result, like, that chill. Do you understand? Just felt like, you know, since we're not, I follow footsteps. They don't say we different.
Unfortunately,
they don't say we different. But so when I realized that I wasn't doing so well, how'd you see your sister? Your sister never gave us this kind of
bro.
Shall we? That's why it's good to have. It's good to have.
I remember
so,
the first
so
time,
you could just be like, you could be the bright child.
I wrote GCU. I first wrote GCU, I think SS1 or SS2.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took the result home. Guy, that result, I can't even lie, I'm sorry, my parents. Guy, that result was terrible. Like, that result, the bar guy. So I just took it to my dad, but I was still very much young, so I didn't really deep implication. And in my head, I'm like, oh, I still have like work to write to get to. Make I just carry on. So the first place I took the result was my father's office. Like, with so much confidence. So when I even bounced into his office and gave him the envelope, he was sure, like, my boy's bounce like this.
Did he ask me for it? He took it.
Bro, he just opened up the first
thing. Well, you didn't open it.
May I open the absence? Do you understand? And I folded it back, like saying afresh, something like say, no issue. I can't bounce, I can't go in your office. He just opened
up. Basically, after he sees what you do, yeah.
Like, in my mind, I'm like, I didn't think they'll change for me because I have work. So, like, GC was just like, test for work. Like, oh, let's just see.
That's more reason why she even hide this. You know, you already passed my work.
Bro, that's why I don't give up like this. You just say, in all my years of being a parent, none of my children have ever failed an external exam. You're a disappointment. Get out of my office. And the thing is, my dad is never that kind of guy. Like, my dad is so chill.
Yeah.
Do you get? So that was like literally the first time I heard my dad say something like that that really hit me.
Yeah.
When I go home, and I was not just my mom. So I didn't tell my mom, I didn't show my mom the results.
Yeah.
I was just her, I said, what daddy did do? She now said, let me go see the results.
And I'm gang.
She should not even use words. She used belt.
You get mind.
Nah, man.
Do you know, till today, I don't think my parents saw my GC results. bro. Mommy, daddy, if you're listening, they just knew that I did it. They saw my wife, saw my job, do you understand? But like, GC, I think the thing is that I don't think they know. The thing is, I went to boarding school, so like,
obviously. Well, you're writing while you're in boarding school.
I wrote it, then I went to like boarding school, like I went to write So like, and my parents didn't really like regard GC.
GC, yeah, that's the thing.
It was just my school that made us do it at that.
So point. I think the thing is like, my sister used GC to enter uni. So like, my sister aced at GC.
Yeah.
So she didn't even really bother about work. So they just thought like, it would be the same thing for me. You know what they say, me GC, I will go play ball like 2 hours before my exam.
Bro.
I'll be, you know what I mean?
Biggie says everyone born in everybody.
Why name give me PTSD?
Everybody born in Nigeria lives with. Wait, before we even go on, bro, like this will be children that grew up fat. This was like that. So I didn't grow up fat. Yeah, I've always been. Well, like, did you grow up fat?
I didn't grow up fat. Actually,
yeah,
didn't grow up fat.
The kids that grew up fat, that grew up here in Orobo.
Fatty. Guy, that's trauma too.
Like a bitch.
I swear.
I was speaking to one of my friends that grew up recently. Guy, like, I'm sorry, I still call the guy Biggie Orobo.
No, I'm not surprised.
Bro, see, when I like, I think he listens to the episode, he said, guy, like, he was talking, my bro was telling me how, you know, people calling him Orobo, Biggie. Even after he slimmed down, like, he's still like,
you know, stuck.
Like, when he sees people that I used to know before, he's like, you that used to when you see your daddy's friends, that like, you that used to be brah. You used to be brah. Now you are me.
Used to be brah. They're not adults. That's so funny.
You say, papa friend comes, say, you that used to be brah. Now you are me.
You think,
bro, they don't have any boundaries.
You think he's using that kind of thing to banter his dad? Like, you that your son is fat.
Guy, like, he says that like, so many of his dad's friends called him Orobo, like, they never knew his face. Say, Biggie, like, you know, when they don't want to, you know, as a child, like, maybe they want to call your attention to do something. And they'll just say, hey, fine boy, or something. But as a fat child, it's Orobo. Biggie.
Fatty bum bum. Bro, nah, man. Where did those names come from?
Bro, see, if you knew me from secondary school, from primary school, and I used to call you Fatty Bomb, but I'm sorry.
Don't, this is his apology, because he still does it. He's a very foolish person.
I'm sorry, I can't lie, man. I remember one child, I called him Fatty Bomb from Korea. Like, we did primary school together, I call him, don't worry, Fatty Bomb Bomb. Fatty bomb bomb.
Crazy,
Fatty bomb bomb. Fatty bomb bomb.
In my secondary school, it's Bobby they will call you. And I don't know why. Like,
Bobby.
I'm not minding you. Like, fast food, they just call them Bobby. And I have no idea.
Bro, don't worry. That body shaming was body shaming, but like, I can't lie, man. Or name sweet.
All those things are not ingrained in our, it's just, in our not but society.
It shouldn't be, man.
Body shaming and all that.
Biggie says. Sorry, Biggie. Biggie says. I'm wondering if anything about this thing. Biggie might actually be on the higher side. Biggie might be big boned. We didn't. But like, I just remember that conversation I had with my friend, and you know, like, he just really like, it was, you know the way big guys do, I'm using them as banter, but it was just, he was talking about his childhood trauma of, you know, growing up as a fat child, but he's no longer fat, you know, he's no longer overweight. But, you know, he faced a lot, so just growing up as a fat child, you know, he affected his self-esteem as well. Everybody born in Nigeria lives with trauma. Some is inactive and situations triggers it. Most have active PTSD, which defines them. It affects relationship to decision making, and they make up 75% of Nigerian's population. Yes, no, like do you know the funny thing? This episode is supposed to talk about how this childhood trauma, you guys will be, if you reach past five, Muna no vex. At this point, like, don't even vex, because this episode we're supposed to talk about, you know, like how it affects romantic relationships, just like how Biggie says, you know, whereas we already prepared the content since over a month ago. We've had that, you know, that was what we're supposed to do. But like based on circumstances,
shut up, man.
We couldn't record it, but yeah, like, and with the reception it got, so we're just going to like do an interaction, and then in 3 days we'll drop an episode of childhood trauma relating to romantic relationships. Just like how Biggie says, you know, it's very inactive, you know, like me, for example, now if you bad into my room, I will jump up, I will spike up like I think I'm in the military. Sure? Yes, now, bro, like if you actually wake me up, do I come up like I seem to, like, yeah, my mother even used to, one time my mother used to like pray for me on that pee, because,
are you sure?
Yeah, like in uni, like when I was at home on holidays, yeah, my mother would like come in the morning for me to like help her zip up or do her heels or wash her car or some, you know, minor things, just help before she goes to work. And I would jump up once she comes into my room. No mother doesn't knock. But like, I'm used to that, life of like boarding school. See, housemaster, they can't flog you. So, like,
are you serious? So like, oh, that's how they used to wake you guys up.
Eh? Bro, you know that if you went to boarding school, you know that 3 minutes sleep is very sweet. 3 minutes sleep, like you just slept up for 3 minutes. So like, housemaster, after they just general waking up, housemaster or previous should not like go around just to see people that are still sleeping, they are still sluggish. So that's the window where once you hear they are flogging somebody, you not sleep, you wake up. So once you just bah, but if they catch you now, you ready to flog. Because, bro, that time, I was go tiptoe, come flog person with his sleep.
So, you know, nobody going to know, say they come.
Do you understand? So, like, you just need to, any slight sound, alert, but you are sleeping. Do you understand? So, like, that kind of thing,
you
still
have. Say you commit crime.
Bro, like, it still affects me till today. I can't imagine you go ND or military school.
Yeah.
Do you understand? It affects me till today, like, do you understand? So, like, I'm always alert. Like, I feel like I can't even fully sleep. Do you understand? So, like, all those things, I didn't even realize until when I know that something I'm used to.
Yeah.
Do you understand? You know those fairy tales sleeping when they would do good morning, baby, wave their eyes go open slowly. My eyes open sharp. Sharp.
They wake up to attack.
I wake up, bro, like sharp, bro. Do you understand? So like, that's just some people like that. Do you understand? I mean, if you wake up, like, I'll wake up, but I wouldn't shout. I wouldn't do anything. So it was just like, just someone waking up. Like, I'm up. Just to act like, I'm like, I wasn't sleeping, that kind of thing. So, like, just in addition to what Biggie says, Oluwajuwonlo says, the childhood trauma thing do me bad. I don't even know if I should call it child or youth trauma. I remember when my papa punched me because I pick up beside him driving.
He said that child or youth trauma, he faced out all through his life.
He faced out from childhood to rich youth.
Ah, that day.
Do you know this one about driving, about picking call? Let me tell you another thing. Like this one, my sister, like anytime my popsy and I they drive, she go kind of press phone, like she did, like press some up to like window screen. Wait till she hijack, do you understand? Like, and traffic.
And she didn't hear window.
Then near window. So my father did slap her phone. Come down. So, because bro. Why are you doing? Very pressing photo, bro. So don't worry, that one slapping during driving, like, don't worry, I know my
thing. Bro, when I was learning, guy, I know I call it, you shout, call it, slap, everything.
For neck. Bro. You guys still drive.
Guy, there was one time
what I did. What's if I match accelerator as you slap?
Do you understand? And that's exactly what I was about to say. Like, it was within the compound. So I was doing, like, my normal morning drive, and my brother was next to me. He just started shouting. So the shout, this is not the shout. Maybe he thought the shout to make me press break. Or the shout, they make me march. I nearly jumped it. It was the one that now, bro, if not, I cannot do it.
Yeah, moving on. Omalinwaizi says, this episode just they make me laugh. I think my child trauma is wanting to please people at every inconvenience. But more now,
you've come to say, you know,
love that. Country too hard to do, please people. But yeah, Awole Shokwe says, when I was little, I did something wrong. Instead of my dad's usual bankere, he decides to talk, and that shit fucks with me. I'll be like, just beat me, please. Just beat me out of this painful convo.
Bro, I actually agree with you, man. Sometimes that parents worry because they will now say things that they're not even supposed to see. Things that you now be just, shit, this guy not my mama or this guy not my papa.
Get on, oh my God. I think we have this conversation. Tell him, say, bro, papa constantly tell him, I'm not proud of you. Imagine your father, like, bro. So you just feel like you just, that's everything, your father can tell you. Everything, like, anytime he fucks up, you know, I'm not proud of you. Like, imagine your father to tell you that kind of shit. And some parents are very hurtful with words. They don't know how words even cares deeper than this thing. There's some parents I know, bro, like, I know somebody that his father is calling me a bastard. I am not capping, bro. Guy, like, in front of us, his friends, you are a bastard.
In front of everybody.
I am not capping. I'm on my life. I don't want him to drop him. Do you understand? Like, I don't want him to drop my guy, but, like, for serious, I'm saying bastard. Live
African parents,
bro, like, do you understand? Like, so even
I know some people experience this kind of behavior treatment even in their 30s.
Yes, no,
like their parents
insults them and treat them like that. Do you know what I mean? She, you know, Shokwe might not even be talking about the aspect of, you know, insults and all of these things. It might even be in the aspect of just having like a very deep conversation that will hurt you, and you know, them just expressing that disappointment to you, and because they're your parents,
they might not even be being abusive,
was, like, they'll just talk to you with that.
They can say, oh, you're like the worst child you've had, or something.
No, my parents never tell me that too. My dad would just tell you, like, oh, we've sacrificed a lot for you to get this, and you know, like, you not being able to get this desired academic. You know, this thing was very hurtful to us. Like, my, do you understand? Like, you just be talking. I know this thing because the pain you say, I'm more, I fucked up really bad, man. Do you understand? But others, like, this thing, they just say, some fathers will come and say, you know, you are a bastard. I'm not proud of you. I've told you before. Some dads are very hurtful. It was like that. Do you understand? Yeah. So, like, bro, there's some mothers I even call their daughters, you are a bitch.
Guy, don't say I wish next thing you go and call your daughter. Say,
yeah.
And you know, that thing was a norm back then. Like,
no, man.
Maybe your child fails in school or hears something bad about your child. Bab the child
and all those things.
Bro,
Faith says, childhood trauma is really something that needs to be talked about because it really affects us when we grow up in in terms of anxiety and being confident to stand up for ourselves. Of course, now, like, most people that are finding it so hard to be assertive, you know, I'm people that are extra shy. It just stems from childhood trauma, you know.
Always told to shut up.
In my secondary school, we used to do this thing where everybody needs to climb stage and do assembly talk.
That's good, though.
Yeah, like, we help you with your confidence. And so, like, and all those public speaking, all those, like, talks, we talk about assertiveness, courage, boldness, all those kind of things. So, like, there were some kids, there's some particular group of people that, like, every single time they got the opportunity to do the assembly talk, they couldn't do it. Do you understand? And, like, they couldn't talk. They couldn't. They're not assertive. Yeah. Like, it was just in them. They just couldn't do it. While there are some kids that it came easy. Some kids will never prepare. Some of them will prepare and they'll still be stammering and shaking and they just couldn't do all those things. Like, it was just very, like, it was just part of them and nothing they can do to change it at that moment. So it's very hard. So, like, Ricky Lewa says, man, if you're an African and you don't have childhood trauma, you are saved. Mine is wanting to please someone so bad and getting their good books. Took a lot of effort to get out of that bubble. I feel like people will be similar to my guy
Omalimwezi.
You know, people that always want to please people. People please are like, I feel like it's because of your parents, man. Like, you just wanted to do right by
your
parents.
Yeah, you always wanted to do right by them. You didn't want to be on that bad side.
I feel like your parents did not compliment you enough. They did not appreciate you enough.
And the thing is, like, parents like that, sometimes you can even do good, like, you can be first, but they'll find something that, why is your average not 75?
Do you understand? So, like, we might be wrong, or we may be right as well, but I mean, I feel like it stems from there. The Big Ken says, first time listening, your podcast is wild and very little. But I got my trauma when I was younger, my parents randomly checked my phone. Till now, I feel unease if someone owns my
phone. Then I actually had that pee for a while. But it wasn't just anybody. Like, so anytime...
Your girlfriend, adults, when they hold your phone...
No, like, anytime my mom comes close to my phone, like, and I'm an adult, do you understand? Like, I don't care what she says on my phone, but, like, I just get scared because when I was small, like my mom went through my phone and saw stuff.
I get it. Bro, this is the guy that keeps seeing me. I'm
porn. No, it wasn't porn. It was just read my. So I had a girlfriend at that time. I read my chats. Do you understand? So she was like, so it was like I got punished and everything. So even now, I don't like maybe if I show her a tweet or something, I'm just like, I hope she doesn't scroll or something.
One thing that I know that my parents did, like they should go through my things when I'm not around.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I think my mother,
Jamie, mothers do that. Yeah, you know, yeah. I feel like I'll do it too to my children. I'm sorry. I feel like I'll do it. I understand that it's invasion of privacy, but like they just get to a stage where you don't know where your child is.
Yeah, especially at that stage.
Bro, like you'd be so confused and you really want to know how your child is growing.
It's crazy.
Do you understand? So like
the summer school I used to attend.
Yeah.
One particular day, a particular guy. He wasn't so let's say that time I was in primary school. So this guy was like maybe just one, just two. He brought condom to the summer school do it. And he was like my brother's guy, so like I was just in with him. I was just playing with him. And then he put out the condom. Me and another guy, they were playing with the condom and all that. So they literally told me that this is what condom looks like.
Yeah.
But like, you didn't tell me what condom is used for. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Then one day we were watching a movie. Like that same week, we were watching a movie in the house. I think I said this on the podcast before. And they pulled out the condom in the movie.
Yeah.
And I literally said, ah, condom, bro. In front of my entire family. Like my mom was there, my dad was there. Bro. My mom beat the shit out of me. To the extent that I'm not even capping. When I got to SS1, when they were teaching us biology, contraceptives and all that.
Yeah.
And they say, you should say, what is this and all that. I literally could not say the word condom. Like, that thing really fucked me because that night, oh my God, I know what my mom... Because I said the word condom during while watching the movie. I could not say it in SS1. Like, it took me a while for me to start using words like, fuck, condom, dick, like in my house.
One time, man, this one I did just too. So I think I was in Chrisland that time, and Chrisland, you understand, like, I came home and said, God damn. I said, God damn, anyhow, like, just, I should use a lot of swear words, like, just at 12, you know. One day I can't talk God damn, and my mom says very religious, bro, like, yeah, deming God.
Very good, okay. Bro,
see now I don't say goddamn. Like you know, you say goddamn.
They don't bore you.
They don't bore me. I say goddamn. Bro, say condom. You know, I say condom like.
Nah, I can say condom. I can say condom. I've got to know my trouble.
But yeah, like Diamond Kiri says, my brother for don't build house the amount of be a man that he collects.
Fuck.
He tries to get waves and ties a durag. Be a man. He's slow sometimes when he wakes up. Next thing, be a man. Be a man. Bro, may they allow my brother breathe, please. But yeah, like Popcorn says, I grew up with that too much sense of responsibility because I lost my dad early. Oh. And I'm the first child and first daughter. Wow. Popcorn.
That must have been a lot, man.
Bro, like
shout out to you.
Do you understand? And at that moment like this, you'd be like your mother's wife.
Yeah, do you understand?
Your mother will assume your dad's, and then you now be like
so
the mother.
So she goes to work, you're the one taking care of
Popcorn, Popcorn, shout out to you, man. You are brave, you are strong. You might have been wicked to your siblings.
Bro, that's not that I was going to say, man.
But it's not your fault.
I hope you're not.
It's not your fault,
honestly. I hope you're not, sir.
K9 says, my mom always flogged the shit out of me. Out of me and my brother during primary school era. Because we play football after school instead of observing siesta. It kind of affected the childhood dreams of playing pro. Bro, I hear you.
I hear you.
See, K9.
Relatable as fuck,
like,
bro.
Do you know the funny thing? All those ones we, you know when I know, you know when, I think Tunde Onokoya, yeah, when he said, oh, his father,
stopped
him from playing chess, all those kind of thing. You also have to understand them, like, do you understand?
Yeah.
It wasn't like this era where they would know the careers that were popping then.
Like,
do you understand? Like, so they're just trying to make sure you have like financial security in your career.
Exactly.
So like at that moment, do you understand? Like all those them Odegbami time, they're not as successful as them.
Osimhen,
then like the money they were earning. Yeah. So like,
it's not even that. Like, so, it wasn't exactly easy for you to. You know now, like with social media, like anybody can not find your clip on YouTube.
You understand,
and sign you.
Bro. Now,
to be long.
Bro. Now, one of my brothers, Toxy, they do master. They say, "Omo, he's 6'4", and he's obviously like Nigerian." He say, "Omo, all the white babes won't marry and create the next basketball. create the next football, because the first thing they black and athletic and it's 6'4". So like now, like the era has changed and everything. So, but don't worry, that one. Me said I play football, but they never beat me for playing football. Shall like I play football so much, but one time I'm supposed to go UK.
Ah!
Like if God knew now, I wanna be soccer. I wanna be watching for TV. But yeah, like my father was just like, yeah, finish your academics first and all of that. By the time I finish, time don't go now.
Don't go. You don't finish boyhood again.
Yeah, I still be me. If I shave, bro.
Oh God.
Under 16, right?
30+. You look 30+.
I don't look 30+ now.
Do you see when I shave?
Deeply. Anyways, Jenny says, this is so relatable. My mom will be like, people are watching you, and this kind of affects me now because whatever I do and wear, I always think people are watching me.
Yeah.
Even when no one, bro, I don't even know, Jenny. Do you know the thing? This thing is particular to girl children.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like, you are a girl now.
People are watching you. Yeah.
And sometimes it helps you, like, you know, it helps in like little things like etiquette and girl, just something that particular to being a girl child or female. At the same time, it just makes you feel like, yeah, like somebody's watching, like, what will people see? Because people are looking at you. That one, even to children, bro. I said that to my nephew, man.
Sure.
I took him out. He's 1 year old. Like, I took him out. I called his name. Like, I can't see that people are seeing, looking at you. Like, big boy now. Don't play on the floor now. Those kind of things, just normal things that like, it's like be a man. All those kind of phrases that we grew up as African children listening and hearing. Peter says, I release die. There was a time they beat me that they were calling my name and I didn't answer. Almost 15 years forward, I see they shout yes out of nowhere. Almost nobody they call me.
Mama they hear your name randomly,
bro. No, imagine I just chilling like every time you're saying your name, bro. That's tough, man. That's another level. Moyo says the academic part is relatable. My parents never joked with my education. Undergrad life wasn't funny at all. I just did cry anyhow. I'm on postgrad degree now. Tears don't they flow. I need the bucket. Sorry, Moyo. See, academics. Oh, the way, I don't know. Like the way me, I didn't treat academics like do or die. You understand? Like if I pass, I pass.
You show at the end of the day.
Maybe I for do or die. For don't, I just try to cry and everything like. Me, I will sleep. Do you understand? I will not have sleepless nights for academics. Do you understand? These are sacrifices. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Like, there are some families that, like, they know boy, you mean, don't get master's degree. Everybody must have master's, MBA, even PhD. There are some families, like, it's just.
Do you remember this, this celeb?
Yeah.
I think it was a BBN announcement that I think one time he posted, like, his family portrait
and everybody was a lawyer. Do you understand? Like, bro. That academic pressure, like, is difficult, bro. This episode is too real. This is not QTMG. I'm the only male child with two sisters, so you know that gender pressure was crazy growing up. And I think one downside for me was being alone and excluded. Yes, like, bro, like, you couldn't chill with them.
You can't relate because
do you understand? There are women and everything, so like, you just exclude yourself. So I really related to this one. Shola Peter says, growing up, I had no opinion. I do what my parents suggest and the church going. Growing up, I had no opinion. I do what my parents suggest. And the church going part, you have to go. I don't want a spoiled child, but I want a child that can make decisions alone. Bro, like, yeah, like, church was always mandatory growing up. So like, it was something that always had to do growing up as Africans. Abu Aisha says, this is so good. African people parents are meant to be taught some thugs, I beg. Captain Small says, oh, more child trauma hits hard, still scarred by it, but I'm grateful I've overcome it. And I feel it's something to be taught to our parents and young adults too. Now, firstborns, yeah, I'm past so true. Firstborn must have been hard. I remember modifying my report card in SST. Still, he speaks the best English in class. My mother doesn't get Belize and Amigo collect best in English. This one, every if they beat you, they supposed if they no beat you, they supposed beat you now. Trendstar says this episode was so relatable. Being the firstborn, I collect all the beating. Bro. The one I did, the one my siblings did, the one I didn't do. Anyways, love listening to your podcast.
Shout out to you, Trent.
Shout out to you, man.
Sorry for all the beating when you call it.
Tell your siblings, tell your junior siblings that they should write an apology to you.
And buy you a gift.
Because you know that not a closure, it is 6 months closure. But yeah, like that was you guys are still you can still always drop like more episodes on the childhood trauma, more replay.
Thanks for all the comments.
I think
guys.
That they were close to 50, but read about 20-25 just now, and it took almost all the time. But yeah, like I think if Spotify updates, you guys can tweet at us, you know, like our social media is very active. And shout outs to Chelsea. If you're listening, she helped out somebody from finding job episode.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she asked for the CV of the person.
That's interesting.
She asked for the CV of the person and helped the person with a job. And thank you so much. And yeah, like you guys should just make sure you share, subscribe, and we'll be back in 3 days. New episode in 3 days. Stay at a lot.
Yes, sir. Bye, guys.